This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new look, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock in high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brandon Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes and all?
They have different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, the C, the D. That's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. It's going to be beautiful this week. Dare I make
70s all week.
A proclamation on the show today?
Actually,
is it here?
I'm all in because I think we're going to have more rain, but I'm here.
I think it's here.
Say it.
I think it's here.
I mean, it's actually already begun. But...
Hello, friends. It's summertime.
Whoa.
We're just skipping ahead.
I was going to say spring has sprung.
No,
spring has sprung.
Spring sprung weeks ago. Sprung in March. We're on to beautiful sunshine day in and day
this
out.
This is the sprung
still,
of the spring.
Still a little crisp and cool in the mornings when you wake up.
It'll be 80 degrees today.
When I left my house.
It was great. It was over
50.
Sweating
your balls off if you're outside today. It's what you're going to be doing. You don't do that in the spring. You do that in the summer, damn it.
Well, it's nice to just, you know, Alan and Braden are in here. We got Mayo Man over there.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayo Man, that's what we call him now.
He likes mayonnaise,
but
he does.
Big fan of mayonnaise. He just won't admit it anymore. Hey, you know, this team needs a superstar to win. Final segment on the Blazers, I promise, so we'll move on.
Mayo Man. Could
Mayo
you imagine?
Man. That'd be a pretty funny superhero.
What's your, like, go-to finishing move for Mayo Man?
You squirt mayo on people.
And they act like it's acid? Like when Scott Hall used to throw a toothpick. Razor Ramon used to grab a toothpick and throw it at their face and be like, oh, I'm blind!
Hit you in the eyeball!
That's what you do with the mayo.
The only question is, where would the mayo come out of?
Spider-Man
you
wrist?
You go like Spider-Man wrist?
Miracle Whip?
Where are you shooting it from, Swag?
I fear for YouTube right now.
So, Blazers need a superstar.
Well, they might have one.
Well... according to them, they do.
When you have a baby, Kobe...
don't put a limitation on what our guys can accomplish.
Okay.
Now, that's been the biggest thing I've been frustrated by this year of, hey, you got a lot of nice success stories, you know, little positives here or there. How do you take the next step? You don't do it in... you don't win at the highest level in the NBA without one guy.
Four more games played, less minutes than last year.
Yeah.
Can somebody explain what happened with the Scoot Henderson thing?
No, they cannot, Bob. No, they cannot. Joe Cronin was asked about, hey, you know, that whole superstar thing, how do you do that? And here is Joe Cronin's answer.
Our challenge is keep finding players, keep developing players. You know, from the development standpoint, we've seen a handful of guys take really nice big jumps this year, and I don't expect those to not continue. And, you know, there's a lot of talent on this roster, and I wouldn't put ceilings on a lot of these guys. Like, there's still, you know, a lot of time and a lot of talent that can be maximized here. Like, these guys, I wouldn't write them off to becoming those star-level guys. But with that, we've got to keep getting better externally as well.
And then after that, Chauncey grabs the mic and says, hold on, let me cook for a minute, too. And he's the head coach of these guys. Here's his thoughts on, does his team have a superstar?
I look around the league, right, and you say having a star, and it's true. You know, you gotta have top flight guys. But to me, I think we're raising that. All right, I think we're growing that. Like I look at like when OKC traded for Shea, he wasn't a star. He wasn't a star yet. Now he's probably going to be the MVP of the league.
They played him in the starting lineup.
Joker wasn't a star when he got to Denver. You know, they raised him into that. Giannis wasn't a star when he got to Milwaukee. They raised him into that. And I just think there's beauty in that because, again, when you raise them into that, they're raised playing the right way. And all of those guys, they just play right. They don't like, give me the ball, watch out. I got it. They just play right with the team because they was raised into that stardom. And that's where I think we're trying to go here. You know, you look at hopefully some of the leaps. You look at what Denny's done and Shaden and Scoot's taking a leap. I thought Ant had a really good job. I mean, we're raising the guys. I mean, talk about that stretch we was on. I mean, DA was 22-15 on that stretch that we just got a lot of
games.
a lot of situations that we're raising that I think are pretty cool.
I suppose he didn't help him there so, in that stretch, though.
Most people would say, yeah, go get such and such, or yeah, go. Well, we might have that person. You know, we might already have those guys.
I'm just going to tell.
We'll see.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Chauncey. I just say this. I was texting with some other media members, and I said, am I wrong in thinking, like, when you got it, you know it, not maybe we have it, maybe we'll get it? I you know, you can point to a lot of rarities in the league. Jokic gets brought up, like the big Quesarito, the second-round guy. Just go get that guy. What you don't acknowledge is the other side. Do you know how rare it is to have a Giannis become the Giannis?
As the, what, 14th or 15th pick in the draft?
Who was like a, you know,
a
by the way,
coming over from Greece.
In reading about it, we also, we kind of portray him as like this undrafted dude who came out. Danny Ainge and Danny Ferry both wanted him.
He was a lottery pick.
And yeah, he was taken at the back end of that, and we didn't see quite this coming, and he grew. But in reading the Giannis book, it's not like this dude wasn't on the radar like whatsoever of the league. And the Jokic thing is like nobody saw that coming, not even Denver. They took a chance on a big, and it paid off in a big way. SGA was highly thought of as a young player. That was a big part of that trade.
Yes, it was.
So like to act like SGA was an unknown commodity that people couldn't see becoming great.
He wasn't an MVP at that point, but that's different than saying he didn't have, hadn't shown you at least that he could turn into that.
You know who's younger than Portland? Oklahoma City?
There you go.
Okay, good. So I just, I don't know. I think there's a bit of like, sure, some players can grow. I don't know if I would classify Scoot season as a leap.
Yeah, it's a very convoluted picture.
Step.
It's a very murky picture with him this year where there were times when it looked great, there were times when it looked bad, and that's going to be the case with a lot of young players. But the minutes per game being down, the shooting percentage is still not where you want him to be.
Denny took a big leap. Denny was awesome this year. Matisse basically said it's the best in-season progression I've ever seen from a player, and that's worth noting. Ayton didn't play the last 2 months of the season. He is what he is. That's not going to change. Ant, I thought, had an awful season, if we're just being honest, based on expectation, hype, and contract.
Yeah.
Shaden was way too hot and cold. Tamani was great. Little limited offensively, so we'll see if that can grow much more. Also might not. Might just be, hey, I can shoot a three. I could play some D. Klingon, I don't know what we're expecting offensively of Klingon. I'm not expecting a lot. I think he'd be a good defensive player who can get in better shape. After that,
who's your superstar? I mean, who's the guy that turns into that? And they just, I
the only
don't
one
think
you can point to
it.
Is Denny.
Denny's the only one that has a case to be made of, hey, can at he translate point. That into next year?
Sure.
Shimani has been great defensively, and he deserves all the recognition on that end of the floor. It's a long ways to go offensively for him. Shaden Sharp mentally checks out of it, feels like some of the games that he's playing in, and he's very hot and cold as a player, where he'll go on stretches where he looks like an all-star, and then he'll disappear for a month, and he'll be on the bench playing 17 minutes a game, and the same goes for Scoot Henderson. There's nothing that you can hang your hat on that those guys have shown you enough to have faith that they will turn into said player that you build a team around. Denny is the main one that you can argue for, and maybe we end up being wrong on this, and that's who he ends up being for the majority of his career. I also at times want to caution people of, you went through the numbers of who they beat in the second half and the turnaround defensively that they made. That same caveat to me has to go on the way that Denny Avdija played. I don't want to take away from what he accomplished because he went on a great run in the second half of the year.
He did.
The primary reason they won a lot of games is because they were playing a lot of bad teams, and when they played good teams, the good teams weren't playing their best player.
12 of their 23 wins. I'm just going to cite some of these stats again, so I'm sorry for those that are P1s listening all day. 12 of the 23 wins were against bottom nine defenses in the NBA.
There's a difference there. We saw this from Scoot at the end of the year last year. Remember, you got all these minutes, and you're playing a bunch of teams that are tanking, that are openly trying to lose games, and all of a sudden Scoot starts playing great, and it's like, hey, this is going to translate into next year, and they're at different points of their career.
And then he did good,
and then it was hot and cold.
Again.
It was up and down. It wasn't like game 82 led right into game one for Scoot Henderson from last year to this year.
I know we've done a ton of Blazers, and some people are probably exhausted at this point. Don't blame me. I'm there, too. You asked before the break the expectation, and I thought Orem kind of nailed down them on this. The way they're talking about this, it's like being the nine seed does nothing. Like being the nine seed and not even winning the play-in, that's not a brag point. It's playoff.
So let's go see it.
If you're going to say that that's kind of the expectation now, playoff.
We're clearly heading in the right direction. We might already have our superstar on the team.
Okay.
We got to keep continuity together to continue to grow. Look at the development we made. That's the next step.
Playoff. Yep. And if they don't make it, I don't want to hear the youth thing.
Well, we're the second youngest team in the NBA. Don't you know that?
You know, it's only convenient when you need it.
Only convenient when you need it. That will wrap up end scene. Our Portland Trailblazers conversation.
Is that the expectation?
I don't know how it's not.
Including the same thing?
I don't know how it's not. If you're telling me that the coach is so good, he's got to stick around and you might have your next superstar on your team.
And the development's on.
The development's on. Look at all these guys who took massive jumps. And are they going to take massive jumps again? Let's see it. Next year's the jump. Get to 500. That's not that big of a jump to make. At least you're in the play-in and try and be a top six or seven seed. So I think they're setting themselves up for that expectation, and I hope that fans hold them accountable for that going into next season. Let's get back into unquestionably the highlight of the weekend.
Eight seed won 48 games this
48
year.
48 games. Right. Only a 13-game jump, right? Or what they win, 35 or 36?
15-game jump.
15-game jump.
21 last year, 36 this year.
So we need one more 15-game jump, and you're over that next year, baby. Just keep taking leaps. Unquestionably the highlight of the weekend. He did it. He did it. The demons are gone. Mm-hmm. The monkey's off his back. Let's hear from him next on The Fam.
I'd like to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we all going to talk about next year?
That's a great question, Rory. Great question. He did it, baby.
He did it.
You want a prediction?
What do you got?
Because it's a good question. Is Rory going to repeat? Scotty didn't play well, and he finished top four. Like,
is he going to choke next year if he doesn't repeat? Or are we going to call him? Is he going to be back to Rory McIlroy, death, taxes, and choking?
Probably, according to Joe Fisher, yes, who did not apologize for his initial start of the whole conversation going into this.
No.
Here is the talking point next year.
Next year's talking point.
The merge has happened. How's it going?
No, that ain't happened.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
I got
it. Oh, what's he talking about?
Tiger, is this your last competitive Masters?
Will he be back and playing after his ruptured Achilles?
He's not competitive.
I mean, he's going to stick around. He'll stick around. Freddie Couples is still playing.
He's going to do the Freddie thing. He'll be there.
I think he's going to show up every year until he can't walk anymore. Yeah, he might be headed for the senior tour. You're probably right in that regard. Like, I think that.
No way.
Tiger won't do that.
You don't think he's going to play on the senior tour?
Nope.
No.
Ever?
No.
I will bet you a significant amount of money that he will play on the senior tour.
I'm not taking
it. Not on the tour. He might play in
not every week, but he's going to play senior tour events. I guarantee you he will.
Nah.
No. I think he'll play in like the U.S. Senior Open, which is a USGA event.
Okay.
Did Jack win a lot on the senior tour?
He won some. He played on there for a while.
Did he win any of the old majors?
The senior majors? Yeah, he won a few.
Okay. All right. Catching Jack. Chasing
File
ghosts.
This away for a couple of years from now. I'm not saying like next year he's going to be playing on the senior tour.
I just think he has too much money and business stuff to make that the senior tour just kind of gets in the
way. I think he's a psychotic competitor who wants to play with his good buddies who he's known for a very long time and go dominate
them. I think he's more likely to be the next commissioner of the PGA Tour than to play on the Champions Tour.
I can't believe I'm a swag on this one.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We'll see who's right. Golf in the Northwest or Grip City Golf. File that one away.
That might. Maybe you end up being right. I'm just going to say it again. I think it's going to be the
like
merger.
I said, he might play in a major.
Nobody's taking him seriously.
No.
Nobody.
Well, right now he can't. I mean, he can't walk.
No, I mean, I think that ship has sailed. It'll be a storyline if he plays, because it's always a storyline if he plays, but it's not about him being competitive in the Masters.
It's just
that he's back, and hey, is he going to make a cut? It's what Freddie Couples and Longer were going into the Friday, or will they make a cut at their age?
Yeah.
It's a novelty story going into the weekend, but it doesn't have any significance on the outcome of the tournament. This was one of the most memorable ones that we have ever seen, dating back a long, long time, where we saw somebody finally exercise demons that built for over 11 years. I thought this was crazy. Kyle Porter had a great tweet. Men who have walked on the moon in the last 55 years, 12. There have been 12 men or women who have walked, 12 people who have walked on the moon in the last 55 years.
Okay.
I don't know how many of them are women. I'm not sure. 100% on that. You know how many men have won the Grand Slam in the last 55 years?
Now six.
In the last 55.
In the last 55 years.
Four?
Two.
Two?
Oh, just Tiger
two.
And Rory?
Just right, Tiger. Some old
55
ones
years
on
ago there. Was, you know.
It's a long time.
All the other guys had it wrapped up by then.
Jack did it early in
Jack
his career.
Did it incredibly early. It took him one time to do it. Arnie does not have the career Grand Slam.
So it's Player, Tiger.
Hogan.
Sarazen.
Yeah, Sarazen.
I don't know that Hogan, did Hogan do it? I thought it was Arnie.
That? Oh, Player.
Yeah, Gary Player.
Gary
Arnie.
Player. Arnie did not
Arnie
do it.
Arnie didn't do it.
What didn't Arnie
he
win?
He didn't win a PGA championship.
Okay.
Never won a PGA championship.
Nobody cares about that one.
Which is the easiest one to win, but he's never Never won it. Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack, Tiger, and Rory. That is your list of guys now with the career Grand Slam. And we talk about the pressure of letting it build for that long. Here is Rory just, you know, dealing with this year after year after year after year and finally getting it done.
I've carried that burden since August 2014. It's been 11 years. It's nearly 11 years. I'm not just about winning my next major, but the career Grand Slam, you know, trying to join a group of five players to do it, you know, watching a lot of my peers get green jackets in the process. It's been difficult, and I've tried to approach this tournament with the most positive attitude each and every time that I've shown up, and I think just the sort of cumulative experience that I've gained coming back here each and every year, I feel like I get a little more comfortable with the shots needed. I talked about it at the start of the week, but you know, there's talking about it and actually doing it. And yeah, today was difficult. I was unbelievably nervous this morning. Really nervous on the first hole, as you witnessed with the double. But as I said, that sort of calmed me down, and you know, I was able to bounce back and show, you know, that resilience that I've talked about a lot. And it was a heavy weight to carry, and you know, thankfully now I don't have to carry it, and it frees me up. And you know, I know I'm coming back here every year, which is lovely.
He is the first European player to complete the career Grand Slam, the first Masters champion to make 4+ double bogeys in a round, two of them coming in the final round of the tournament.
Yeah.
Second most starts, that was his 17th Masters start for a first Masters win, mm-hmm. and the first European player to reach 5 major championships since Faldo did it back in 1992.
Unbelievable. I mean, that was captivating television. That was, if you are a sports fan, doesn't matter if you don't golf, doesn't matter if you don't even follow golf. If you love sports, that was A+ spectacle to have on your television. I like Rory. I defend Rory in, you know, text conversations that involve calling him a choker. I've loved that he's become kind of the voice of the PGA in this whole live mess. I understand you are a diehard of Rory, okay? Might be your goat. But I found myself actually getting a little watery.
How'd you
watching
not in that
celebration?
Moment?
Yeah. And it was weird because I'm like following this whole round, and maybe it was the emotional swings of the way the round went of awful, great,
it's
awful.
Over. No, it's not.
Oh my God, what are you doing? Oh my God, what did you do? Oh my God, what are you doing? Back and forth. It was like watching myself play golf in a way, like just not at an elite level. And maybe that was what also moved me to feel that emotion, but I actually felt emotional watching him finally get that on the playoff hole, because that rose shot hit, and I'm like, well, can you stuff it closer? And like, yeah. Not that he couldn't, but all the mental side of that to overcome and get to that point is just, man, that's got to be wearing on him.
I will put, for those who didn't watch yesterday, I think the Masters posted it on their social media accounts, and you can go find it. In terms of just captivating television, maybe 7 or 8 of the best minutes that you will find are the moments after he hits the putt, Nance has the call, and then it's just nothing. It's just the crowd.
Noise and reaction.
It's just the noise, chanting, roar. It's his general raw emotions of 11 years of frustration coming out. And the Masters is so unique in that way, where the walkway from the 18th green to the scores table is this long pathway along the fans. And we famously remember a lot of big-time champions who win, and you know, Tiger hugging his dad or hugging his kids when he won in 2019. There's little visuals that will always stand out to us. But his, just the camera following him, I think it was legitimately, it felt like it was a, you know, split second. It was like 7 straight minutes of just general sound and Rory McIlroy walking like, I can't believe I actually did this. After how many times, and he acknowledged it in the aftermath of the tournament, of thinking to himself, you blew it again. You blew it again. You had the chance on 13, put it in the water. You had your chance on 18. You made a bogey. Opportunity after opportunity, and he kept thinking to himself, oh my God, did I let another one slip? And then he finally wins. The raw emotions of that, I will put as 6 or 7 of the best minutes of television that you will see for the entire year.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Unreal.
That was a good call. Nance, on the other hand, the first time on 18. Let's talk about this on the other side.
Well, also, I want to get to one Rory answer in his press conference.
Okay, we got a little bit more audio I want to play, including a credit to somebody who has been scapegoated to a certain extent for the last 10 years, who I thought had an awesome moment of reflection and reminder for Rory that I want to point to. Some other takeaways from the Masters, including how about Bryson? Is that a takeaway for anybody, or is Rory the only one that's capable of choking in a tournament?
Bryson de choker.
Because he walked out like a UFC fighter onto the first tee box, trying to rattle his cage, hook into the trees on the opening tee shot, somehow saved a par.
Had a water magnet in the back.
And then just played terrible and shot a 75. Is that a storyline for anybody, or again, is Rory the only one we ever hold accountable for not winning majors?
Rory wouldn't talk to him. That's what happened.
11 years. Doesn't matter. He's got twice as many coming into the week as Bryson. He hasn't won one in a long time. Some final Masters takeaways, including one guy getting a lot of credit and a funny caveat that went into his weekend. So more to get to, including audio.
Go. 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 Go.
Right, baby.
Go. Go. Go.
And go it did.
Go. 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 Go, go, go. Look, I said it last week. It's my favorite sporting event of the year. I look forward to it. It's my favorite week of the year. I kicked my family out of the house yesterday.
Your wife and kids?
Just leave. I just need you to leave. I need to be alone.
Were they understanding?
They were very understanding.
That's good.
Very understanding.
All right.
So I'll pay it forward.
I'm surprised you text us. Yeah,
fortunately, the weather cooperated, so.
Yeah, they were out doing, they went for a while. I mean, they were out. You know, I just needed to be in a zone. I needed to be in a bubble. There's a lot on the line here. Not to mention the fact that I had a pre-tournament bet on Rory McIlroy, as I do every year in the Masters.
Did you get him at 12-1?
I got him at plus 750.
Okay.
So it was before he won the Players, because after he won the Players, it went down to 650, I think, or plus 600. So I got him at plus 750. After he made the second double bogey on Thursday, I re-bet him.
You live bet it?
I live bet it because his odds, he was became the favorite, and then he made two double bogeys. And I thought, man, he played really good golf. I don't think two holes are going to ruin this. Good weekend. He can get back in the mix. I like the odds. Jumped on it. And then I triple betted him after the double bogey on the first hole.
Good call.
Because he went in yesterday as like a minus 220 favorite. He triple double bogeyed the first hole, and I think his odds went from like minus 220 to plus 150 or plus 200.
I saw a tweet
and I jumped on it.
Showed his odds after every hole of his final round. At one point, he was minus 2,500, somewhere around the eighth or ninth hole when he built like a three or four shot
over.
Lead.
It was over.
And then it got, I don't know. He was plus, I think, after the second hole. So when he was on the third and he lost the lead, he was plus money. And then after 13, I think it got back to like almost even money. Yeah, it was insane.
Rose pre-tournament, by the way, you want to talk about heartbreak. Justin Rose losing in a playoff.
If you had a bet on him to win the tournament. Mm-hmm.
What would you guess the odds were? Because I know him.
Plus
pre-tournament?
Pre-tournament.
2,500. Nah, plus 3,000, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I think it was plus 2,500 or something.
100-1.
Yeah.
Oh,
100-1.
Imagine having a 100-1 ticket
on Justin Rose.
On Justin Rose, and he got to the playoff, that is how it all came to a crashing halt. I played around before the Masters got underway, at least the final pairing, because I didn't care about the real early starters.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was on a par 5 at Eastmo, and I hit it, and I literally was like, go, 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 go,
yep.
go. It's the most universal thing we said.
Did I hit it? Did I get it? I don't know if I got it. You know, a lot of things have been scapegoated for the last 11 years on why Rory McIlroy hasn't won a major. He's a choke artist. He can't do it. He'll never do it. I mean, just a lot of things have been said. One of the guys who has been blamed a lot over the years has been his caddy, Harry Diamond. For those who don't know the backstory, him and Harry grew up together in the same small town in Northern Ireland. He met him on a putting green when they were like 7 years old.
I was unfamiliar with this narrative,
by the way.
I don't follow golf closely enough to know the caddy narratives.
I'm somebody who leans into dumb rationales in golf, a.k.a. you get married, you can't win anymore, right? Like, there's little things that we all pinpoint for
guys. No longer accurate. That's dead.
For guys. Rory was one of these guys, right?
Exactly.
He won a lot early, and then he got married, and then, hey, what happened? You're not winning anymore.
Hasn't seemed to bother Scottie Scheffler.
No, Scottie. Well, Scotty's unique. Okay, he's the outlier.
Yeah, he's
Scotty's no counties. Okay, he's no counties.
Weird take he has.
Right? Look, it's a bad take. I grant you that. But one of the takes that people have had on Rory is, well, Harry Diamond's not a real caddy. He's just buddies with Rory McIlroy.
Best men at each other's wedding.
He needs somebody to hold him accountable. He needs somebody who's knows every nuance of the golf course and blah blah. Right, that has been said. You and I both had the same takeaway. So he misses the putt on 18, and I had the feeling when he stood over that putt, even as the biggest Rory McIlroy fan in the world, he's going to miss this putt. Like,
I did not feel great about
it. The U.S. Open happened last year.
The way
that
the round
was
had
not
gone.
That long ago, okay? He just hit the approach shot in the bunker. Like,
yeah.
He's incredibly uncut. That's not that hard of a putt, but he got a bad read from Bryson because Bryson hammered it through the break, and he didn't get an accurate read on it. I thought he's going to miss this putt. How do you reset yourself from going, oh, my God, I just missed a putt inside 10 feet to win the Masters. Now I got to go play the same hole again. And I thought this was a great caveat of kind of what was going through his mind and what was said, mainly by his caddy, Harry Diamond, after that hole.
After scoring, Harry and I were walking to the golf cart to bring us back to the 18th tee. And he said to me, well, pal, we would have taken this on Monday morning. I'm like, yep, absolutely, we would have. So, you know, that was an easy reset. He basically said to me, look, you would have given your right arm to be in a playoff at the start of the week. So that sort of reframed it a little bit for me. And I just kept telling myself, just make the same swing you made in regulation. And I had a great drive up there. And and the rest is history.
Emotional moment where he was asked. I thought that answer was probably my favorite answer. There's a lot. There's so many good things. But like that was my favorite because you kind of think about that. And I'm watching him miss that putt, and I'm just like turning to my family, explaining who he is and what is writing.
You don't get it. He hasn't won one in a long time.
And he misses that putt. And I'm just like, how do you rebound from this?
Yeah, it's like gutting this again.
And it's quite literally the most perfect thing I think you could say to a person in that moment. And he was asked basically what it meant to do this with his caddy.
Yeah.
And without knowing much of the backstory, and then he tells it, he like literally stopped talking because he was too choked up, because he was probably going to lose it.
Yeah, they're best friends.
And so like you imagine one, your best friend for your whole life saying the most perfect thing of, who cares how you got here? You would have given anything to even have a playoff to win this.
You got one hole to go win it.
And then you achieve that and overcome those demons, and it's your best friend.
Yeah.
Like that, that's the emotional stuff tied to all of it.
Yeah, a couple other quick takeaways. Unbelievable weekend. It lived up to the hype. Doesn't always happen. There's been a lot of final rounds. I made this point, I think, last Wednesday. There's been a lot of final rounds since Tiger won in 19 that have just been kind of forgettable.
We do like a segment and a half, and
you're
that's
kind of like, hey,
it.
Scotty won again as a runaway freight train. All right. Nobody really, you know, it was basically over on the 14th tee box, and this one is one of the most memorable final rounds of the Masters that we will all remember for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
The Bryson stuff is interesting to me. Again, this is the point I always tried to make on Rory. I feel like he is judged and discussed differently than any other golfer. If you had flipped the roles yesterday of Rory shooting a 75, finding the water how many times, and I know Rory had ups and downs in his round, and he was one over, but basically was an afterthought going into the back nine, what's the talking point today? We're killing him. We're crucifying him.
Yeah,
if that's his Sunday.
Yeah, well, if he was in live, I don't know if we would.
I think we still, the live thing, maybe, I don't know. But
we wouldn't see him.
Sure, I'm just saying, in terms of, he is the only guy that I think goes into every major with if you don't win, you're a choker, or if you don't make the one shot, you're a choker, or you didn't live up to the expectations.
Well, sure.
The Bryson stuff was interesting, where he kind of, he came out like a UFC fighter on the first tee. He tried to play that in. He was trying to get into Rory's head. Rory didn't talk to him the entire round, and Bryson he evaporated in that round. He completely disappeared, especially down the stretch in the back nine. He's one of the best players in the world. He's going to be back. Again, I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy in the way we talk about this.
Well, is there any other golfer that's close?
No. What did Brooks Koepka do this weekend?
Terrible.
Didn't make the cut. He made an 8 on 18 on Friday and missed the cut. John Rahm had a nice charge on the weekend.
How about Berg's finish?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Cost himself a lot of money on the last hole. I did love this story, though, on Bryson, where I guess he was walking around Augusta on Saturday night, because he wanted to stay on the same body clock with the late tee time, so he was up till like 2 in the morning. And he was walking around the Augusta neighborhood, and he saw a group of friends putting in their backyard, and he just walked over and started putting with them. He's a tremendous dude. He's going to be great. I just wanted to point that out.
He's the most likable villain.
Without a doubt.
He's made himself a very likable villain. And I say villain loosely because people genuinely, I just root for him.
Yeah, he has done a 180 on his career. He's a ton of fun to watch. Was happy that Rory beat him yesterday. And then last note for me, and then we'll close up the show today. the guy who we talked about on Friday that led to the debate of what would Swag shoot on this course. How about Nick Dunlap, who shot a 90, maybe the worst round in the history of the Masters, turned around on a Friday. By the way, Thursday night, he said his trainer or his caddy went to a local Target and bought a bunch of balls, and he just hit him into the woods behind his. He was like, I have no clue what's back
there. Great story by Ryan Lavner.
Just firing balls into the trees.
Sounds like pollution.
Like, I just need to, I got to figure this out. He went out and shot a 71 on, he went from a 90 to a 71 on Thursday and Friday.
Second biggest turnaround from round to round.
Second biggest in the history of the
tying the record.
Dude, good for him, man. Standing on a tee box at Augusta not knowing where the golf ball is going has to be one of the most rattling feelings you can ever have. And then to turn around and shoot a 71, awesome for him.
Ridiculous take. Just an all bad take on the can't win because you got married. An all-time bad take by you.
Every time I saw that, one of the highlights of like Cam Young four-putting from inside
Rory
8 feet.
Hitting into the creek from 80 yards. But Swag will do it because he's going to only double bogey this hole.
I got this shot in my bag. What a weekend. The Masters delivers.
Mayo Man.
Now we got until June 2nd to get our get your line in the lottery, baby. Get those tickets in. You don't want to go? That's a horrible take. That's worse than Mayo's bad. It's a horrible take.
No, I don't want to. What am I going for? Tiger's never going to win again. Rory won it, so I missed the excitement of that. Like, there's nobody that can win that gets me excited.
You'd never want to go to a Super Bowl? Does that have to be the best
thing.
Team?
I care more about football. That's not close to the same thing.
Okay.
Well, I can stay home and watch Georgia festivities, or I can go and just be like, oh, Patty Reed won again. Cool.
I think it's a pretty bad take on you, but I'll go ahead and put your email in with the voucher, and if I get
funny,
the tickets, I'm taking them.
No,
you can,
funny
you
if
can
I won.
You can put mine in.
I'll put your okay. I'll
it'd
put
be
yours
like Garth
in.
Brooks. I won the tickets, and I just
yeah. Who would want to go to one of the best sporting events in the world? Right? That'd be pretty dumb. Yeah. Why would
Sell
anybody want to go there?
Convince me to go. They should be begging me to go.
That's one of the worst takes ever given on this show. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. Well, we got to wait for a week until the NBA playoffs begin, but we get to play in tomorrow. You got one East game, one West. Atlanta, Orlando.
Oh, man. I'd
catch a fever.
The buzz of one of the worst offense and most disappointing seasons in Orlando. I don't know how to hold my excitement.
41-41 versus 40-42. Catch the fever. God. And then the nightcap will be Grizzlies and Warriors. That's tomorrow night. So you get at least an entertaining game in Golden State tomorrow night.
If Boston wins and gets to the finals and maybe they repeat, do we get the Tatum narrative of like, but he played in the East the way we did with LeBron? Or is that just
no,
only
just,
one player?
Just the LeBron thing, man. Just the LeBron thing.
I think
thing.
That's only if the Cavaliers do it. If
oh,
the Cavs
really?
Do it.
That means they'd have got through Boston then, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it was a watered down East. They really only
What is the best first round series that we know thus far? Now we gotta wait again. These don't start until Saturday, but you get Nuggets, Clippers, and your 4-5 in the West, your 3-6 is Lakers and T-Wolves. Now all this is ironed out. Pacers and Bucks and Knicks and Pistons.
I mean, it's Ann Edwards against LeBron and Luka.
Yeah.
But also, Clippers could beat the Nuggets.
Clippers,
I'm taking Clippers all
Clippers,
day.
Clippers, you know, look as hell if they stay healthy and it's not every other game somebody's got to sit out. And
doesn't appear to be the case, Bob.
Will
Kawhi Leonard stay healthy in the playoffs?
I think he can for a round.
Yeah.
Zubac has been great this year. James Harden,
yeah, the
pretty
Clippers
good.
With Zubac playing the way he does is one of the few teams that has at least a guy as big and athletic as Jokic. Not obviously not as skilled, but. Does that allow them to do other things that other teams can't do against the Nuggets?
Steph Curry's never won a game in the play-in.
No, he is not.
0-3.
0-4. Yeah. And if they win, they get the Rockets in round one. They win tomorrow night. Bring
on
Houston. Yeah. Be a fun series. Especially after the interactions they just had about a week ago or whatever that was, week and a half ago. Be a lot of fun, man. We had some poll questions last night at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. You can go vote on these. Will be up for the rest of the day. One of them on the Blazers, one of them on the Masters. Was that the best Masters that you've ever watched? 50.8% of you so far saying yes, it was.
Wow. I thought it'd be the other
edge.
Way.
And did the Joe Cronin, Chauncey Billups contract extensions press conference make you feel better about the future of them running the organization? 75.6% of you say no.
Ah.
A lot of people laughing at the premise of the question.
Okay.
That will do it for us, folks. Hope you had a great weekend. Lots of sports. Lots of leftovers tomorrow. Ton of stuff we didn't get to today. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Check the podcast at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. We'll talk to you at 6 tomorrow. Colin is next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.